I'm loving the pop off.
What's good? Welcome back to the Pop Off Podcast, a conversation about the Sweet 16. I'm Ralph Compiano. I'm your host, and I'm joined as always by my co-host, Mike Cerrone. We just got done watching Illinois defeat Iowa State in the Sweet 16. 72-69 was the final score. What's the number one thing that stood out to you in this game? Was it Illinois' ability to make clutch buckets? The fact that they led wire to wire the entire game? Was it Terrence Shannon Jr.? What popped off the page for you?
I think, did they not lose the lead one time in the whole game?
The entire game they led.
That's nuts. I think they just seem like an absolute like freight train of offense. Like everybody's running faster. They're bigger, faster, stronger. Iowa State, number one defense in the country, just kind of got, they got put on their heels and just got absolutely kind of ran over. Shannon Jr. is a beast. That kid can score. He can play defense. Sealed the game with like one of the clutchest steals I've ever seen.
Yep.
And then they have these like random little white boys that just are dogs. Like just not like you got this little ginger shooting threes, making threes. I think his name is what is it? Tomosk? Is that his name?
I'll pull it up.
Other white dude? Yeah. I think it's Tomosk. That just like play like they're not little white boys. It's kind of insane. And for them to go in. And, you know, we talked about it before, like you have the best, you know, you have one the best, the hottest offense against the best defense.
Yep.
Usually, especially late in the tournament, the defense is going to win that battle. Like you, even like in any sport, you take the, you know, the defense wins championships kind of idea. But yeah, that was, I didn't think they were that good. They just like, yeah, if you, they just would not stop scoring there. It was almost like reminding the GCU team where like, they were a lot of times just way quicker, way faster, way stronger. So they're just going to get to the line a million times. And yeah, Iowa State seemed, it started off bad. Seemed like they were asleep.
Yep.
I said, and just kind of got ran over. And then
I don't even know if it was asleep though. I think it was like, they were a little bit antsy. Like this was a big stage for them. Right. And we talked about this, the Big 12 tournament, that's a big stage, but those games, I said it they treat them like home games because they call Kansas City Hilton South. Now you're in Boston. And you do not, like, it's completely neutral, right? Like,
Illinois fans too,
right next to each other. And, you know, they come out and they just don't have that offensive discipline. One thing that I really noticed is their defense. They run one of the most complicated defensive schemes in the country. And that's what makes them so good and so hard to solve defensively because of the things that they do. Iowa State. So they love to trap the corners when it gets there. And then they do a really good job of helping the helper in the dunker spot. But they are liable to give up open threes because they love to double-team the corner so much. So it's a credit to Illinois. But I'm looking at the three-point attempts. They were 9 of 29. That's not that brilliant from three. But then they got to the line 29 times, and they only made 15 of those.
So yeah, I know.
50% from the line. They were breaking everything there.
I know. That's the thing, too, because the only knock I have on Shannon is he, like, he can't hit free throws at all. I don't know what his stats are, but he, like, yeah, that's pretty tough. I just feel like the Iowa State was just playing like a gear behind them the whole time. Like they're just, if you're trying to play catch up the whole time against a team like that, you're kind of screwed. And they did tie it. They kind of made a little, there's a really bad play at the end where that guy took just out of place three. And then, they had a chance too. They were hanging around, but it seemed like Illinois should have been like the seed should have been flopped. I think they're just on fire right now. Like that was, I bet them plus like, I don't know. They just seem, when you get that hot in March, everything just clicks.
They got hot as a team, but their best player played like the best player of the entire game. And he got in some foul trouble. So there was like a 5 to 6 minute stretch when he had four fouls, Terrence Shannon Jr., where he wasn't available. But, I mean, the guy finishes with 29 points. He's averaged 30.5 points in his last six games. He's five rebounds. He has two assists. He's 10 of 19 from the field. And he did all of that, Cerrone, in 22 minutes of play. So he played about half the game, and he scored 29 points in those 22 minutes. And
Will he go to the league next year?
Yes, he's going to the league. So he's a senior.
Like top 10 pick?
I don't know. Because of the age, I would take a risk. Don't think it's a risk. I think he's going to be a bona fide pro because he has the athleticism. He has the jumper. I think that you can fix the free throws. That might just be like a casualty of the moment tonight. But I think he's definitely a league guy, like definitely a rotation player. I could see the Heat drafting him with like the 13th pick, and then all of a sudden he's just like a fucking all-star in 2 years.
He has athleticism too. He could play D. Clamps. That was a filthy steal at the end too. Just like it was almost like a dagger, but instead of a three-pointer, it was just a steal and a dunk.
But I had said it on the pod that we did with the boys, with the Box Out boys, and I said it in the group chat. You have to take him away. You have to put two on him or something, because if you let him beat you, he will beat you, and let the other four guys beat you on that team. So he had 29 points. And then across the board, you've got Hawkins, Coleman Hawkins, the big kind of guard. He's like a 6'9" guard, essentially. He had 12. You had that Danger guy come off the bench. He had 7 points, 6 boards. He was effective in his time. But like nobody else was in double digits other than Hawkins and Shannon. And so like the minutes that he's playing, especially when he's already in foul trouble, you got to like throw two at him, make him fuck up and like get a charge, something along those lines, because the less he's in the game, the better off you are. And that's when Iowa State started to claw back when he was out. You got to take advantage of those opportunities right there. But my biggest issue with Iowa State is actually on the offensive end. I think what makes UConn so brilliant to me is they're so unpredictable on offense. I knew exactly what Iowa State was doing on offense the entire time. It was very elementary. They would run a ball screen on the right side with two guys, and then on the opposite side, they would have Gilbert in the corner coming off of a stagger screen. The stagger screen is just two guys setting an off-ball screen at once to try to get a three or a curl to the basket. And Illinois was just like, we know what you're running. Like, it's so predictable. So they're just cheating all of those screens, and there's just something about them that's like, the defense is miraculous. It's unbelievable. I still think it's the best in the country despite losing, but their offense is just, it lacks.
Yeah. When I tuned in, because I came over late from the Bama game, Iowa had like, I think they had 15 points and 14 of them were from one dude, one kid. I don't know his name.
Yep, so that was Curtis Jones. He checked into the game, he came off the bench. Yeah, he had Jones. 26 points tonight, but yeah, he had 14 of their 15. There was like, I think it was like 12 minutes into the game, he had their only field goal makes, and then Gilbert literally had a free throw, and I mean, Mochilovich is like somebody who's been kind of a hub for them this year, like somebody they can rely to score. He hits a lot of fadeaways. Tonight, he had 24 minutes, 0 for 4 from the field, 0 for 1 from 3, 1 point. That's unacceptable. That's, I know he's a freshman. I know he's European, but like that's what loses you the game right there, is that guy not showing up.
Yeah, it's tough too, because in March, you have one slip up.
Yep.
And dude, this is the team, like, this is the same thing that blew out Houston by like 30.
Yep.
Which is just like, it just, that's what makes, like, that's why we love March. It makes
but
it
that's
fucking
why
insane.
I'm saying, like, I wasn't as confident in them in this tournament because of the neutral site. Like, when they beat Houston by 30, yes, that's impressive. But Houston didn't expect that game to be an Iowa State home game. And they realized, like, 2 minutes into it, holy shit, it's an Iowa State home game. Because there's one thing about Iowa State, their fans are crazy. Like, going to Hilton and watching a game there is easily like the most explosive environment I've ever been in. They're fucking nuts. Like, they really are. That's not just me being like sucking around dick. They're insane. I mean, you have guys like Berg and Clark just go, because we don't have anything else in Iowa, Cerrone. We have the Iowa Hawkeyes and the Iowa State Cyclones. So when we go to Kinnick, you go to watch Iowa and you watch us play football, we kick ass, and it's corn. Potatoes is Idaho. We kick ass in football at Kinnick because we're loud and we're fucking nuts and we tailgate our dicks off. All right. Iowa State's the same way with basketball. They're insane. Like, that crowd gets so loud. So that's what happened in Kansas City with Houston. But this didn't look like – I think the biggest thing with home court advantage is just the confidence on the offensive end. Like, you get a steal, you're pushing it, you're attacking the rim. Where they would get some steals tonight, and then they wouldn't even have transition opportunities because somebody would pull it out because they didn't like the two-on-two opportunity. Yeah. You have to take advantage of those opportunities, and they didn't.
And there was a lot of it felt, I mean, Chicago is near.
Yep.
It's near Boston, but it felt Illinois fans were going.
It's not near Boston. Chicago's in the Midwest and Boston's on the East Coast.
Yeah, no, I know, but it's not really that close at all.
But I mean, if you're considered like as far as like cities, like in feelings and vibes, like I'm sure there's a lot of Boston people that like are transplants from Chicago. People are more likely to move to Boston from Chicago than they are from Ames to Boston.
Yeah, and they were every time Illinois, they were going nuts. Like, yeah, that place was shaking.
Yep.
So, it just completely flipped. And then you have that with all the momentum of them blowing the doors off of the two teams before Iowa State. And you have the underseed. I just, yeah, dude, something about March, like it's got to be beautiful. I'd almost rather play as a higher seed. It's just like that one, just it seems so, everybody just loves the underdog in the tournament. It's crazy. And you like, that's why I love NC State tomorrow. But yeah, dude, they, I kind of, I mean, I kind of expected that, but yeah, it's tough to see. I feel like a lot of people had them winning the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, that's
Or at least
insane. I didn't
going
think
a
that was
couple
going to
more games.
happen. I definitely like, all right, so I guess we can do this. So great season for Iowa State. Congrats to Illinois for moving on. Whoever won this game, after watching UConn, I've watched them for probably 2 weeks now. Whoever won this
They look
game,
unstoppable.
I told everybody around me, I'm like, I'm putting my entire savings account on UConn. They are unbelievable. So I watch NBA all year, and then once March comes around, I start to watch the conference tournaments, and then I watch the NCAA tournament.
The same
Every
thing.
college team that I watch, I'm like, there are flaws here. And even in NBA teams, there are definitely flaws across NBA teams. UConn is like the only one that I really struggle with finding a flaw, because they have two senior guards and Spencer and Newton, the
I know, and
black
they
kid and the
lost
white kid.
two. They lost two from last year, too.
They
It's
lost
crazy. Or
Hawkins,
three.
Sanogo. I mean, they're losing all these guys, and they just relock and reload. And these guys, a lot of these guys played on the championship team last year and played crucial minutes. But I mean, those two guards, and then you have this Castle kid who doesn't even play that much. He's going to be a top 10 pick in the NBA. He's a freshman. He's young. He has a lot of potential. You have Klingon, who is, if not the best center in the nation, then second behind Zach Edey, right? And then you've got, I can't remember his name. He's a European kid, but he fucking snipes, dude. He's a sophomore, and he's just
I know
an
who you're
absolute
talking
terrific.
about.
But you know, they win by fucking 30 tonight against the team that they played in the national championship last year.
Yeah, it's a
Like,
little grudge.
we're 1 year removed from them playing San Diego State in the championship. And Ladie was good. San Diego State is solid, but it's Caravan. That's his name. I love that kid.
Caravan, that's, yeah, dude, he's wet. He's another white boy that plays like he just fucking is. It's almost like a, you know, when you meet a, you see, like you meet a dog that thinks it's a German Shepherd and it's like a little Frenchie. That's how that kid plays, and he's
Pepe.
wet. And I'll say this too. I watched, after watching just disgusting amounts of college basketball and then watching a Lakers Bucks game, it's unbelievable how much smoother the fucking NBA is. Like, you don't really realize it when you're watching March, but I was like, oh my God, this is just so, because you March is awesome because it's sloppy and
Yeah,
because
sure.
there's fucking tip balls and madness and fucking craziness. But yeah, it's
There's
insane
beauty
how
behind
much.
the madness.
Yeah, exactly. It's just insane how much better fucking like quality of basketball the NBA the NBA is sometimes, especially because I've just been watching so much college ball, and I was like, oh my God, this is like, yeah, it brings it back to reality.
But I think that's why I
It's
like
funny.
UConn so much. They're so balanced. And the other thing is, they don't fuck around with their minutes. I mean, their starters tonight, Newton and Spencer played 32 minutes. So once the game is out of hand, that's when they finally come out and they're like, all right, we'll give our bench
Yeah,
guys
they're
some
up.
PT. Caravan plays 31 minutes. Klingon played 23. Castle played 28 minutes. But their scoring is really balanced. Here are their starters scoring from most to least: 18, 17, 16, 8, and 8. That's just a
Yeah,
balanced attack. So it's
it's
not
great
like you can
basketball.
lock and load on one guy. Like, they're not waiting on one
Yeah.
guy to set up the offense. All five guys can be a hub for that offense. And my point to Iowa State running kind of an elementary offense, like my seventh graders could run Iowa State's offense. We could run a ball screen on the right side and have a stagger on the left side. That's simple enough. They could learn that in one practice, maybe two practices. We could never. I can't even comprehend UConn's offense. It's fucking insane. They are constantly moving, constantly in
That's
the
the
right spots.
coach.
Everybody makes the right decision. People know when to back cut, when to set a flare, when to set a pin down, when to use an elevator. They know
They're
everything.
smooth.
I mean, it's just brilliant, dude. Like, they're really, really fun to watch. And I don't know what the line is on that game. If you want to play a little game here, I guess we could do Bill Simmons calls it
It's
guess the
probably
line. What do
like,
you think?
I was gonna say, it's probably
Eight and a
five.
half? Five?
I was gonna say five or six.
Okay. They might have
I
it up. Let
mean,
me check.
dude, Illinois is on fire. Also, what was I just gonna say? Oh yeah, you could tell. So there's a couple things. Purdue, like you could tell Purdue is like playing dominantly. They're pissed off for their two early exits,
Yes.
but UConn is almost, I feel like, because you hear the Warriors talk about it, you hear other teams in the NBA talk about it. After you win a ring, there's almost that little hangover.
Yep.
But I feel like UConn is, it's almost the opposite because they're tasting that they could do something that's never been done, which is back to back.
Well, it hasn't been done since like a, Florida did it in 06, 07 with Joakim Noah, Corey Brewer, Al Horford. But that's
That's right.
That's a similar branded team. They have, I mean, UConn has 5-6 pros, right? That Florida team had 4 or 5
spread
pros
all over the place.
Yes. And like, it's just, all right. So the line is 9.5. They play at 5 o'clock.
9.5
on Saturday. Yeah. They're favored by double digits. Yeah. That's, I mean,
I don't know how I
don't disagree with that because I'm watching Illinois tonight. I'm telling you, I see flaws.
Like, yeah. They beat them by 30.
I just think
that right now.
And you know what Danny Hurley said tonight in his post game press conference, the coach of UConn. He said, we suck at winning close games, so we just have to opt for the alternative. Like, he's
just blow them out
right now. He's like, we're just going to blow motherfuckers out.
I know. I heard, right after the press, he was still on the court.
Oh, yeah.
And they interviewed me. He's like, yep, I got to give my boxers and my T-shirt and my socks and my wife pretty quick to get them washed and turned over.
Yep.
Because he's wearing the exact same, like, literally the exact same pair of boxers and
do you
everything
do that?
That he wore.
Do you do that for anything? Like when you would ever knock, like I remember we would get home from knocking and we would throw our clothes in the washer right away and then straight to the dryer in the morning.
I did wear that. I wore that purple shirt, but just because mom said I was cute.
But didn't you have a pair of pants that like started out as like dark brown and faded? It's like almost brown pink.
Yeah, I would rock those because that's my only pair of pants. I've never been superstitious like that, but if I audition for some shit and get a lead role, I might keep those boxers.
Yep.
Might keep them hanging around for a little bit.
Hell yeah. Only
and
a matter
the thing
of time.
Is, it's all literally. It's just fucking the fact that he, you know, I love that he's doing that because it's like, it just buys the whole team in. It's like if you see your coach wearing the same dirty boxers that he wore literally a year ago, you're going to fucking obviously play a little bit harder on the court. You're like, dude, this guy's fucking in. Like, he wants this fucking bad. I don't know. That's going to be – I feel like, 9.5 is obviously a lot, but I feel like, it's deserved. That's going to be a great match. Is Purdue – So Purdue is on the Tennessee side of the bracket. Okay. Because I thought Purdue played UConn. But, yeah, it's going to be – wherever this comes down to, this is going to be a beautiful fucking Elite Eight, Final Four. Because it's going to come – I mean, yeah, I just –
Let's do Alabama-UNC now because that was a game that was 89-87. I made a joke. So, like, you know, Carolina,
insanity.
They're the only school, only state with a color named after them. Meanwhile, Alabama named themselves after a color, the Crimson Tide, right? But they ended up winning this one, 89-87, red versus blue, Crips versus Bloods. I think my biggest highlight from this is you named yourself for this podcast, just for behind the scenes for everybody. When we come into a podcast room, you can name yourself. And Cerrone always likes to mix up the names. Sometimes he's DJ Burns. Tonight he's Grant Nelson. This kid is unbelievable. 36 minutes he logged tonight. He only took 9 shots, and it felt like he took 100 because he had 24 points. He made both of his threes. What were his free throws? Because I think he was beautiful from the line,
dude,
too.
He pretty much hit
10 of 13 from the line.
Yeah. Dude, this kid – because I don't watch that much college hoops like in the regular season. So I personally had no idea. I knew
– Never seen before in my life.
Yeah, I knew Sears, who played lights out in the first half. And then that Estrada kid who played great. But this kid, dude, was cracking me up because, first of all, he looks like he's from North Dakota.
Yep.
Like, he looks like his mom's his dad or his sister's his cousin. just fucking, you could tell this kid just was raised on a farm.
Oh, he is from North Dakota.
Yeah, he's goofy looking. Just exactly like if you made North Dakota a person to be this kid. And, dude, out of nowhere, he's playing against Baycott.
Yep.
The whole game, he's playing help defense, he's getting steals, he's getting blocks. And a kid that just fucking, again, we talk about this all the time. You just tell this kid fucking just cares.
Wants
like this
it.
Kid would rather die on the court
yep.
than fucking lose this game. And he hits a and one late in the game, hits his free throw, hits a three from the corner. They started running plays where he would actually take the ball up and
yes.
Sears would be, because they realized, they're like, oh shit, like he is on fire right now. Like, let's run a couple of plays for this kid fucking Grant. Or
and you can
Grant,
run a play for a post player like him, but usually you're going to give him the ball in the post. They're like, we have enough confidence in him where he can bring it up. But that and
handles.
One was like my favorite moment of the tournament so far, because what happens after he hits the and one? This kid from North Dakota rushes over to the bench, and he's the only white guy on the fucking team. all these black dudes are just fired up for him, dude.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's like the most Bama thing I've ever seen. It's like he's the quarterback of the team because they've had white quarterbacks in the past, and they're surrounded just by first-round drafts. Like, it, I mean, literally, that was so fucking sweet. I loved that.
Yeah, dude, and you need someone to fucking – there's got to be always a man that steps up. Like there's always got to be whenever you're, I mean, their star players are playing, you know, really, really good as well. And it was a fucking like the first half of that game was nuts. Just trading buckets, like three after three. Even RJ Davis played, he was brutal. But he still made, he was hitting floaters. He was hitting free throws. He was actually, I thought they were going to win that game because RJ Davis was kind of figuring it out. And then UNC always fucking, they're really good at closing out games. Like they don't play good first half, but they always just kind of pull away. And Cormack, that fucker, was hitting threes. Baycott got into foul trouble, which is huge because I think he had to sit for like, you know, 5 or 6 minutes. But yeah, dude, Bama, and I liked them from the start just because I thought they were so fucking so fast, so just such a good shooting team. And
they're
then
so fast.
I don't think.
They play with a crazy pace. Oh my
God! Yeah, UNC can't keep up, and it's crazy too.
But they did
keep
up. Like they don't like to play. I mean, they like to play fast, but Alabama's like the fastest pace in the nation.
Yeah, well, they were hitting shots
on RJ Davis. So, do you know the story between him and Caleb Love?
No, I know Caleb Love had a really bad game though.
Okay, so they played together on North Carolina last year. And 2 years ago, and I think Caleb's a junior right now.
Oh, maybe
when Caleb came into North Carolina, he was one of their higher prospects that they had in that class. I think he was a top 10 recruit, something like that. And so they were the team that beat Duke at Duke in Coach K's last home game, and then beat Duke in the Final Four in Coach K's last tournament game,
and then played
against Kansas in the national championship. RJ Davis, Caleb Love, Baycott, all on that team. Last year, they went down a fucking hole. After making it to the national championship, they were playing together.
Didn't make the tournament.
Didn't make the tournament. They're terrible. Caleb Love transfers to Arizona this year, supposedly because he fucked RJ Davis's girlfriend. Okay, so like a literal backcourt breakup between the two of them. What happens tonight? RJ Davis, 4 for 20 from the field, 0 for 9 from 3. Caleb Love, 5 for 18 from the field, 0 for 9 from 3. Just like karma
talk
on both
about
sides,
written
man.
In the stars, man. Yeah, that's insane. Because fucking, and RJ fucking, the thing what scared me about UNC was it kind of like UConn, they can spread. Dude, you obviously give it to Baycott. Baycott's been in the league for 30 years, it seems. He's fucking got experience. RJ Davis and Baycott, I've never seen a tighter pick and roll or a, like not even a pick and roll. Like when RJ turns the corner, they're like you can't even fit a piece of paper between. Well,
they run a lot of handoffs with him, where Baycott will handle it at the top, and then he comes around without the ball. And then you're right, he's going hip to hip on that, which is really hard to guard.
And then a full head of steam into the either. I mean, that it was Grant, and even bro, I think they were up 2, and they did the same handoff, and Grant Nelson had to pick up RJ Davis and like 3 times in a row played the best hands up defense swatted the shit out of him. Like, but he, you know, just cutting off the shot, not falling for the fake. But yeah, dude, so where's I going? Oh yeah. So I thought Bama was going to struggle because they can kind of go to where Cormack hits fucking a ton of threes. RJ Davis usually hits threes and then can just take the ball anywhere. And then you got fucking Baycott dishing off. But yeah, they were, I mean, yeah, it was a close game. But
I mean, what's the difference in the game,
Cerrone?
He was 0 for 9 from 3. If he makes one of those threes, just one of those threes, they win the game.
They lose by 3?
Lost by 2.
That's
all it takes is just one of those to fall. And, all right, so on the Baycott point, you won't have to worry about watching Baycott anymore. He's done at Carolina. I think he's done with eligibility. He's not going to the NBA. I'll tell you that right now. He's not going to
really.
I don't think so. I really
don't. That's crazy.
Older guy, slow feet. I mean, he can board. Maybe he's like a backup big, but like Luka Garza doesn't even get minutes in the NBA. He's not a better basketball player than Luka Garza.
Yeah. That blows my mind because fucking that I consider him one of the best big guys. And the fact that it is actually crazy when you watch these tournaments that like, would you say 95% maybe even more of these kids will just be working normal jobs.
9 to 5.
Next year, that's
I think Bacot will go play in Europe or something like that. I'm sure he'll be successful over there. He might get an NBA contract. I don't know. I'm sure he'll be on a summer league team this year. But, I mean, I just can't imagine somebody giving him minutes when they're not giving them to Sonogo, who played for UConn last year, or Oscar Tshiebwe, who's like, those are like the same kinds of players as Bacot, but they're better. Like, they were getting 20 rebounds a game versus like, you know, 12 or whatever it was. And he's also older.
Yeah.
But I mean,
Bacot's also not as big as I thought. I thought of him as a big body, but he was not, he looks small. Looks probably small.
Like 6'10", somewhere around that range. So let me double check. But I liked your point about Carolina and UConn sharing some similarities, actually, because I felt the same way where, like, you know, they do rely on RJ a little bit more than UConn does on either of their guards. But they still are more balanced than most teams in the country.
Spread you out.
And that's what gets you to be a one seed, right? And that's why I was talking about BYU in the group chat earlier. These teams that go the farthest in the tournament, it's because they are dynamic and they can beat you in multiple ways. And I just want to keep reemphasizing that over and over again. Because if you're a team that just relies on threes, you might win one game in the tournament. You are not winning two games if you can only play one way.
If they're not falling, you're fucked.
You're fucked. In Alabama, they play fast, but that's not like their thing. Like, that's not what I mean. Like, the pace doesn't really infiltrate that
they
ideology.
They take it to you, too. They got some – I forget the other – I think it was Griffin. They were – I've never seen a team where all five guys are, like, shooters. Like, it's – bro, they were all – it was – I didn't watch too many Bama games in the regular season, but everybody talks about their 3-point shooting, their scoring. I didn't really buy it until I watched. I mean, I've been watching, you know, a couple of their full games, and they can. It's insane how many of them can shoot.
Team like UConn, man. I mean, they just play their starters. Like, they have four out of five of their starters are seniors. Okay, and those seniors played 35 minutes, 29 minutes, 36 minutes, and 40 minutes.
Yeah,
like they're playing entire fucking
tournament,
game.
Man. Yep, I love that.
Man, they're tough.
Fucking, I'm trying to think of anything else from Bama. Yeah, it was a fucking close. Now, so Bama and I thought also UNC was going to win because I thought, not that it's rigged, but the country to see Clemson UNC in the Elite Eight would have just been just a great.
So that's who Bama's playing next. They play Clemson. Like, okay, that's going to be a fun game.
Yeah. No,
well, we can move into Clemson, Arizona now because, all right, so what did you see from Clemson? What do you like about them? Because I didn't get to watch as much of that game. I was playing basketball. We'll talk about that at the end. But, give me the Clemson thoughts.
All right, so I like them. I actually, again, I sprinkled Moneyline and +7 because, first of all, I've never seen – so many. I don't look up how many rebounds are offensive. I've never seen a team rebound more than Clemson. It's insane. Just offensive board after offensive board. I said last week too, in college, if you can just get offensive rebounds, it's like insane how much that, I mean, obviously that matters in the NBA, but like college, I feel like it just means so much more because it just takes the life out of the other team. And then all the, like that kid Hall, they got fucking a bunch of white kids that can shoot, a bunch of big white kids down low that just fucking ball out. I think his name's Griffin or Griffith and Hall, the other one. Just absolutely, I don't know, dude. They just kept scoring. Their guard can shoot threes. And their defense is just like, I don't know what they were ranked defensively throughout the whole season.
They're tough.
But just like suffocating as far as on the defensive side of the ball. And then fucking... yeah, Arizona just fucking – they had a couple of runs, but they just could not stop. Like Caleb Love, I think he probably, what, had like maybe 14, 15 points, like a decent game.
13.
But towards
– but I mean, yeah, on 18 shots, that's not very efficient.
Yeah, and towards the end, it was – I don't think he scored barely anything in the last like 5-6 minutes. And yeah, dude, everybody was on Clemson. It seems everybody fucking loves the underdog again. Yeah, dude, they fucking – again, Arizona just kind of caught on their heels, just wasn't expecting. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it seemed like Arizona, you see a team like Clemson with a bunch of white kids and you think it's going to be a breeze and we're favored by 8 points and we walk in there and just got, I mean, pretty right off the bat, just smacked. Like I knew by the first, like maybe 10 minutes in, I was like, oh, +8 is like, this is going to be easy money. And then I feel like they would have came back. They did. I think they tied it up or even took a lead early, like maybe 10 minutes into the second half. But yeah, just got ran over towards the end, couldn't catch up. And then, yeah, down the line, there just comes, yeah, it came down to like two or three possessions. And Caleb Love, he would shoot, yeah, 0 for 9, just like fucking Davis.
Chucking, dude. Chucking. He doesn't stop. And I usually preach that with my players. It's like, hey, like, play the percentages. If you're a 40% three-point shooter and you miss your first six, that means the next four are automatically going in. That's the way that we're supposed to think about this. But the thing on Arizona is I did this homework the other day because I was struggling with the idea that the Big 12 is the best conference in basketball. So I wanted to take a look at the last 24 years of college basketball. I might have talked about this a little bit before, but Arizona – hasn't made it to the Final Four. Take a guess. The last time they made it to the Final Four was
early to like
2003, 2000s. They're regarded as one of the best programs in college basketball. You cannot be thought of that way if you've made one Final Four in 23 years. And now they're going to go to the Big 12.
Recruits for no, like everybody. It's like. Yeah, they do get a lot of. They always got someone fucking. You know, they're always. Yeah, recruiting people are always going
Gilbert
there.
Gilbert Arenas, Richard Jefferson, Andre Iguodala. That's like the old school versions of them. They were solid, but then you have Derek Williams. You have guys like Love now. You have Ballo who transferred in. Ballo's great. I mean, that guy's a stud. 15-15 tonight for him. But they are just like the.
Is that their big guy?
Yeah, the big African.
He's a beast. Stud. I didn't know about him. He's a dog. He was fighting. He was rebounding.
And he transferred from Gonzaga because Tommy Lloyd, their head coach now, was the assistant at Gonzaga. And I think he just liked Tommy a lot. So he's like, I'm going to go to Arizona, mix it up. And also, who the fuck wouldn't rather go to Arizona than Gonzaga, considering the women that go to those two schools. But yeah, man, I mean, it's just Clemson. It's just like that's a team that who the fuck would have thought, dude? Who would have thought? Because like we talked about UConn and NC having that balance. Clemson's interesting because I don't know if they have – I think they have balance, but it's a different way where UConn has several playmakers on the floor. Meanwhile, Clemson, they just know their roles really well. Like, just who's that curly-headed kid? Shifley.
Oh,
played 36 minutes tonight, dude. He had 14 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. Gerard, their little white point guard that wears, like, the wristband. Like, that kid is nothing special athletically. He's just always making the right decisions. I don't even know if he had a turnover.
He hits threes, too. No, he fucking
one turnover tonight. And he played 32 minutes.
Yeah, the way I see Clemson is like fucking. You know, when you play pickup hoops at like LA Fit or something. And there's that one white guy who just like is clearly trying so much harder than everybody else.
That's me.
And on defense, he's just squatted down, and you're just like, oh, this guy. Like, there's no way this guy's guarding me. Like, this was supposed to be fun. Clemson's just a full bunch of those kids.
Yep.
That just like want it more. That just are scrappy. Just a bunch of white kids that fucking are getting after it. And the surprising thing too is fucking we're suffocating on defense, but all their big white boy have touch around the rim. Like they can shoot jumpers. They're getting these and ones, like these off balance shots. It's kind of crazy. And then, they got some shooters. But yeah, I didn't even think because they were playing New Mexico was a huge favorite to go far. They dragged New Mexico by like, I think it was like 20, 25, and they beat Baylor, which I feel like Baylor fucking was everybody's, you know, people at Baylor going far.
Yep.
And then, and then you smack fucking U of A. So, yeah, I think Bam, I'm curious to see who's favored in, it'll probably be pretty, is that line with,
I'm double checking right now. All right, take a guess. Go ahead. Take a guess. Who do you think's favored and by how much?
I think it'll be Bama by 3.
Money. Bama by 2.5.
Yep. I don't know. Yeah, I would take fucking.
Oh, you're going to do it? I mean, they're going to play Saturday night. We don't have another pod before then, so we might as well make our picks on those two games. I'll tell you right now, I'm taking UConn by 10. I think UConn is that fucking good. They're going to win by 10.
Yeah, take UConn. I would take Clemson because I feel like they're just so fucking. They're just a lot more. They got way too much heart.
Well, you know what's interesting about this actually is that, all right, so Arizona is probably the team most similar to Alabama in this tournament as far as pace is concerned. They want to push that thing. Like they are running and gunning. They're getting it up the floor. Alabama's the same way, obviously. Clemson's the opposite. They showed a stat tonight that I think Arizona had the 8th highest pace in the country tonight, and Clemson's like 256th out of what, 264 teams?
Way down. Yeah.
So the over under right now is set at 164.5. I love the under there. If you just want to think that Clemson's going to slow the game down, because
I would say it depends on who you pick for. If you're an Alabama guy, you're going to take the over. If you're a Clemson, if you're looking at Clemson, you're going to take the fucking under.
I mean, they're going to slow that pace down. So it was 77-72 tonight for Clemson, Arizona. That's a total of 149. Meanwhile, Alabama, North Carolina, that was a total of 176. That's fucking nuts for a college game.
That game was, that was one of the best college games even the Bama GCU, Bama game is just,
they're fun.
Exactly what you want out of March basketball. Like it's actually crazy.
And if you like that style of basketball, folks, let me tell you about a little league called the NBA, because we love to push the pace in that league.
I know, just a bajillion points. And it's fucking, you gotta tip the cap to Bama too, which I don't even fucking, it's pretty crazy Bama's this good, because not even 5 years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, like just a football school.
Yep. I mean, they're still football first for sure. But like over the last, since Nate Oates took over, I think like 5 years ago, something like that, they've become a legitimate program. Like they are probably the best team in the SEC. I mean, if you want to know stats as far as like, so I did the research again. Were you part of this conversation? I asked who the last two SEC teams were to make it to the Final Four. Take a wild guess.
Maybe Auburn.
Auburn is one of them.
It's got to be Auburn.
There's no chance in hell you get the other one. Auburn was in 2019, and then the other team was in 2017. Yeah, so Alabama could be the first
LSU. SEC LSU.
South Carolina. The fucking Jesus. Gamecocks. Yeah, Kentucky hasn't made it to the Final Four since 2015.
Good for Bama, bro. Look at U of A. U of A hasn't done it since fucking
2001.
And Bama does it. Yeah, you got
to
give.
Well, they haven't done it yet. They're going to have to beat Clemson to get to that Final Four. But, what do you like in that game? Because we can preview the games tomorrow night or tonight when people are listening to this. But you could go in Clemson plus 2.5 there?
I'll go Clemson. I love the underdogs no matter what. And I think that – yeah, Bama was this close to fucking losing that game, because UNC is just more of a complete team. And I feel like Clemson, with momentum, full head of steam, being the underdog, playing that good defensively. It's Clemson's more of a complete team. And if Alabama doesn't shoot lights out, it might be bad. So give me Clemson for just being more steady headed. All right. Bama.
I'll ride with you on this, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it into a tease. Okay. So I'm going to take Clemson. I'm going to tease them plus 3.5 points and UConn plus 3.5 points, parlay those together. If you take, so that would be UConn to win by 6 and Clemson to lose by no more than 6. All right. So they're both at 6, and that's plus 109. That might be,
I love that.
That might be a savings account bet right there.
That's a nice safe bet. Dude, I've been fucking, I scorched the books today. I was fucking rolling.
Go ahead.
Rolling.
Do it. Take it. We'll clip this. Go ahead. We'll throw the graphic in. Tell us what you had.
I took Clemson spread, Clemson money line, Bama money line. And then while the whole world sold, I doubled down big time at half when it was plus 350, hit the Bama money line. And then, I had Illinois money line.
You want to get the box up?
I also had a nice, Mr. Adam Katch, he gave me 4 MLB picks. I've never watched MLB baseball in my life. And he said, sprinkle on these. I said, fuck it. I'm putting them all in a parlay. And that when it hit, it was like 15 to win like 270. It was insane. So I'm fucking, and I'm putting all that on NC State tomorrow. So Burns, if you're watching, if you're listening, which you're not because this isn't out yet, get some sleep. Eat your Popeyes, get your Wendy's new Dreamsicle, get your calories in.
What's the Dreamsicle?
You better come to fucking, Burger King or is it
Wendy's?
No, Wendy's has a new Dreamsicle Frosty that looks.
You know what's funny about that? Petey and I were coming back from golf tomorrow. The other night, and we drove by Wendy's, and I was like, I don't know if there's ever going to be a day in my life again where I eat Wendy's. I feel like I'm past that part of my life, because every time I want to get a burger. Like I'm usually going to go to like Gateway Market, which is like a good little joint over here.
It's well, like that's sit a down. You got to be in the fast food mindset.
But if I'm going fast food, then I'm going to get like Culver's or Bebop's, which you haven't had because they're Midwest. Or I might even do a McDank's or something. Dude, when you come here, we're Bebop's and Culver's for sure. At least
I'm down. Yeah,
they're both fire.
Down to get all over that.
All right, so again, we're not going to talk too much about San Diego State. They lost by 30. Congrats to Jaden Ledee. I know he's a Box Out Boys favorite. So we'll do a quick preview. We'll do 5 minutes on each of these games, max. I'm putting this on the timer right now. So the first game, chronologically, tomorrow night will be NC State at Marquette. Is that the first one that you want to do? I'll give you 6 minutes for this game.
Well, all right.
The line is Marquette by 6.5. The over-under is set at 151.5.
I'm getting so much. I mean, yeah, clearly I'm on NC State. I always
plus
have been.
Plus 225 money line.
So much value on money line. I'm putting, you know, every – I'm just using the house's money that I won today, slapping money line. And I have every bet you could possibly bet. Me and my boys have like 28 prop bets between DJ Burns, Horn, and Diarra McConnell, the guard. Dude, they just play. It's the year Marquette didn't impress me that much. They almost lost a couple times. That Kolick kid, he's got a little bit of dog in him. He's got some fight.
He's the Big East player of the year last year.
Yeah, he hasn't met a young man named DJ Burns who's going to body him around. Fucking.
I hate to break it, dude. DJ Burns is not guarding Kolick unless it's in a screen or a switch.
Kolick's going to dabble in the paint, and there's going to be a big man there waiting for him. And, dude, DJ Burns is on fire. Okay. They were doubling him, they were tripling him, could not stop him. Unbelievable touch. And it just opens up. Dude, when you put three guys on one dude down low, Horn lights out from the perimeter. Didn't play that great last game, but he's going to have a big bounce back. McConnell can shoot threes. When DJ Burns gets too tired, because Lord knows he will, because he's carrying around 320 pounds, you got this Middlebrooks kid, this white boy off the bench who like put up 20.
Stud.
Can get it done. Just a guy that wants it. And then you got Diarra fucking getting every rebound. I think NC State is a complete-ass team that has heart. They know that they are the one Cinderella left in this tournament. And honestly, give myself a nice pat on the back. You know how hard it is to pick the Cinderella in the March Madness tournament? And I fucking – I'm not going to lie. I fucking did it. They won two games. This will be the third. I think they're actually a fucking just really complete team playing really well. And I feel like Marquette is just not as well built. And honestly, almost slipped up a couple times. I think 6.5 is just I mean, I'd love that to hammer that. I'm not taking the spread. I'm taking money line. And then, yeah, bro, with the prop bets, it's just I've watched so much of their game. It's so easy. You can also hammer the assists on Burns because he's getting doubled. He walks into assists because he's going to obviously throw the ball out of a double or a triple team. And then you got shooters on the outside. But, yeah, dude, I cannot wait for this game to tip. I'm so excited. We've been fucking itching to watch it, and I can't wait to prove the boys wrong.
My turn. I'm going to do the Marquette side of things. I'm probably not going to – all right, I'll put money on this game. I'll do NC State just for you, okay? But I think Marquette is going to win this game. Let me tell you why. Well, actually, let me tell you this first. So Burns will be guarded tomorrow night by a gentleman named Iguodaro. And now there was an announcer, I think it was SVG, Sam Van Gundy might have said on the broadcast, but Marquette has the benefit of having maybe the best passing point guard in the country in Kolick, 11 assists in his last game, in the first game against Western Kentucky. And then Iguodaro is also a very good, like he's kind of like a Bam kind of player. He's very thin, though. So him guarding Burns, that's going to be a matchup nightmare for him because Burns is so heavy, he can use that to his advantage.
Oh, he bodies everybody.
But there's a kid named Cam Jones on Marquette that will light it the fuck up, and he's a guy to keep an eye out on because he will shoot the shit out of the ball. Now, my only curiosity with Marquette is they won their last game by 4. It was a really great game against Colorado, honestly. I don't know if that team shows up or the Western Kentucky team shows up because in that game – the Western Kentucky game, they're a little bit more balanced. In the Marquette game, I don't know that everybody showed up. I mean, Kolick had 11 assists in that game, too, it looks like. 21 and 11.
They were sloppy, though, against because they were down
12 like turnovers this team. Yep.
Half. Yeah, they've been playing sloppy, which I love. And I also think the week rest or the, you know, 5-6 days rest is just a lot in our favor because the higher seeds, you know,
Is Ramadan over? A little
bit more pressure.
Can Diarra
eat? I don't. That's a great question. Is Diarra eating? Is he? He got some calories in him. Does he have extra energy?
Does he need the extra calories, or is he going to benefit from more Ramadan because that energy? Listen, dog.
He's going to get it done no matter what. That's just what NC State does. I think the extra rest benefits us because, again, the only Cinderella left, the lowest seed. They're April overthinking 9th. It. They're going. We got nothing to lose. What Rocky say? The most dangerous fighter is a fighter with nothing to lose. I think we go out. We leave it all on the fucking court every time. I think we're rolling right now. But yeah, I can't wait to watch that game.
All right, let me ask you this. You've been saying we a lot, and you say NC State a lot. Do you know their nickname off the top of your head?
The Wolfpack.
Okay, just make it sure.
Yeah. Oh, come on. I'm following all the fan accounts.
I mean, you never call them a Wolfpack. You're always saying NC State. The Wolfpack has a nice ring to it. It's buzzy. I love the Wolfpack.
It is. I've followed, you know, dude, my fucking explore page went from Ravens players and just blondes at ASU to only DJ Burns and Wolfpack. And I follow all the pages. We're sending everything back. They're on fire right now. Like, it's kind of they're writing a story. The story's not done yet. It's going to continue, but it's you catch a team like that at the right time. Someone's got to be a Cinderella. Someone's got to do it. San Diego State last year. I think this kid just keeps surprising me. I love him. I really do.
Wait, let me do this really quick, actually, because are you familiar with a gentleman named Jim Valvano?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Jimmy V.
The Jimmy V fund, the speech.
All right. Beautiful. Everything. So, coach of NC State.
Was he NC State?
I'm trying to think of when they won the title.
I'm wondering if it was the
40th anniversary, because that's not a conversation that I've heard. 1983. It'd be the 41st anniversary of them winning the title.
Oh my God. See, that's even more to the story. And I love, bro, his speech. I watch his speeches every fucking couple months.
Laugh, cry, smile. Yeah.
Yep. Beautiful. That's a complete day.
All right.
Don't ever give up.
That's 6 minutes. That's 6 minutes right there. All right. So moving into the next game, chronologically, Friday night, Gonzaga Purdue. So two teams that have struggled to get over the hump. Mark Few, Matt Painter.
How much are they favored?
The line is Purdue by 5.5. The over under is set at 154.5. Gonzaga is plus 188 money line. This is fascinating. Okay, so I don't have a lot of familiarity with either of these teams. I've watched them both play once in this tournament. I've been impressed by Purdue. But at what point does Purdue just Purdue themselves? Like, when does it come down to that?
I think you hammer Purdue minus 5.5. I think they are so dialed. I mean,
Gonzaga beat the shit out of Kansas, though. They looked good against Kansas. That's the one game I've watched them play, but they looked good.
Did they beat? Okay. Kansas was also hurt.
Yeah. Fair.
I think Purdue just has a look in their eyes this year. They're not celebrating any wins. They're
89-68 against Kansas.
Gonzaga?
Yeah. Gonzaga beat them 89-68. That's pretty impressive.
I mean, yes, that can be easy.
But Purdue beat Utah State 106-67, so I guess we can't really look at
them. And that's a pretty frisky Utah State team.
Oh, I hated that team. I thought they were fucking terrible. But maybe it's because they're playing Purdue. Yeah, I just didn't see any talent on that team.
Yeah, I mean, they played really great the game before. But to beat any team by 40 points, you don't do that by accident.
100%.
Purdue, yeah, I just feel like Purdue has this look in their eyes. They just got fucked the past 2 years. They're like just so fucking done with it. You could just tell they're just fucking, they're looking to kill and kill only. I think I was surprised with Purdue too, because obviously everybody knows Edie. But dude, everybody on that team was shooting lights out that last game, like jumpers, threes. It did not matter. It was just going through the net. Gonzaga looked nasty too. It's not going to be easy. I know it's not going to be easy, but I think Purdue like wins by like a solid like 9 or 10.
Let me just throw this out there. If you want to get frisky, and we're two gentlemen that like to get frisky, if you just want to take Gonzaga and NC State to win those early games, then you can chase it a little bit later with Houston Duke. +836.
That's nuts.
To win both those games.
Fucking, I will for sure dabble. Even though I don't like fucking, I'll throw, I love the big plus money. Part of that's like, I mean, I just, you just love it.
And it's only two games. I mean, what happened tonight? Alabama won, Illinois won, both upsets. This is upset time.
I'm seeing the board clearly. I'm seeing the board crystal clear. Yeah, they're going to have to come out shooting lights out. I don't even know who's Gonzaga's big man. Like, who's going to be, is Edie just going to put up 30?
See, that's the thing. Edie could very well put up 30. Let me double check because I know they have like a slew of big men. They play like six or seven guys a lot of minutes. I know they have Nembhard. I love Nembhard. I mean, his brother played there a while back.
I don't know too many Gonzaga.
Ike is their big guy, right? Yeah, 6'9 junior. He's solid. There's somebody else that I'm missing. Greg, is he the big guy? Yeah, he's 6'10 junior. So, yeah, they've got a rotation of big guys that they can throw at him. But, oh, shit, no. They play five guys a lot, like north 30 minutes, yeah. And then a couple of guys like 15 minutes. So
yeah, because you got to get Edie in foul trouble.
Yep.
You got to somehow get in his head because and it's crazy too. Cause it's the same thing with Burns. He gets like almost every call because he's just this fucking
physical
dude. He's like this leaning tower of Pisa, and you just almost assume that the smaller guy is trying to claw on and bring him down. And I feel like he knocks down free throws too. He's another dude that he's zero flair, just all focus. Like he's not fucking, he's not drinking the night before. He's not like getting that many girls.
I don't think he's ever drank or had sex in his life. I feel like he's just like the most like normal dude.
Would not surprise me at all. And he's not like, just no social media, anything. He's just fucking, it gets just focused.
All right, that's 5 minutes. Let's move into obviously my favorite game of the night. Duke, Houston. Houston is favored by 4.5. Duke is +158 money line. You bet your bottom dollar I'm on that. The over-under is set at 133.5. So they have a lot of confidence in Houston's defense and not a lot of confidence in Duke to sustain this level of shooting. If it's only at 133.5, that's easily the lowest over-under of the night. Creighton is at 144.5. Gonzaga, Purdue, 154.5. NC State, Marquette, 151.5.
I'll tell you what. I'm all in on Duke.
Thank you.
All in for a couple of reasons. One, mainly being they will play NC State next round, and me and you will be
of the Titans.
One of us will have to fly out. One of us will have to watch the game. Maybe we'll watch the game over Zoom.
You've been a fan of them for a month. I've been a fan of Duke for 18 years, and it'll just be a clash of the Titans.
Fugazi, Fugazi. I fucking Houston didn't impress. I mean, bro, that three, they almost, it should be Texas Tech or it, no, not a
A&M.
Texas A&M. A little bit of choking going on there.
Was 100-95 and then went to overtime, but that is a very high scoring game for Houston. That means that their defense, there are things on film that Duke has had to look at for the last 4 days, right? And seeing how A&M exposed that, and A&M is a good team. Like that's a team I wouldn't want to fuck with. But I think Duke, just because they're Duke and they get the best recruits, they get all these great players, we have a little bit more talent than Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Okay. And they looked unbelievable against James Madison. Now, they haven't played anybody good in the tournament so far. I don't think James Madison was a good team. I would rather them have to play Wisconsin and beat a good team in Wisconsin, even though Wisconsin's kind of BYU-ish where they rely on the three ball a lot. But there's something about Duke right now where they came into the season, they were the second-ranked team in the top 25 AP. They didn't play like that the entire regular season. And this is why I don't value the regular season as much as the tournament, because they weren't even that great in the ACC tournament. But they're playing their best basketball right now. McCain's playing his best basketball. He was fucking unbelievable. 9-3.
That's why.
In that game.
Yeah.
Tyrese Proctor, the Australian kid, love him to death. One of my favorite guards we've ever had. Filipowski, for as much as people want to fucking hate on him, I promise you, he's tougher than he gets credit for. Like, I really believe that. The whole, rushing the court thing, like, I don't think that was in his control. I think that was Duke's management team that fucked that up. I don't think that was on Flip at all. And then you got Jeremy Roach, who's a seasoned veteran. This is a guy who's hungry. He was in that game against North Carolina 2 years ago, Paolo Banchero and those boys, when they lost in the Final Four. You're going to be watching him and be like, God, this motherfucker's quick. And then watch him stop on a dime on his mid-range pull-ups. If those are going, that's when you know we're really cooking. Mark Mitchell finally figured out his role as just a guy that just, he's a ginormous wing. He's like 6'10", 6'11", moves his feet super well, great athlete, kind of just like not a good shooter at all. I hate when he shoots the ball, but just really tough. And I think that Shire has these guys cooking right now. So I know Houston's a great program. I know they're really fucking tough. I think Kelvin Sampson's a great coach. I like Shed. I like Cryer. I like all those
Sheds.
Guys.
Sheds, that kid's filthy. But that kid fucking balls.
133.5 feels disrespectful, especially for a team that just had a 195-point game in Houston and A&M, and Duke had however many points against James Madison. But I think the way that they're shooting it right now, I'm not confident in it, but I've talked myself into it just by potting and thinking about it over the last couple of days. I'm on Duke. Moneyline. Let's fucking go.
That's a little bit more tastier to me is NC State moneyline and Duke moneyline.
Oh, you want that one?
For a parlay. I would definitely sprinkle 10, 15 bucks on that. If McCain plays, even if he plays half as good as he did fucking last game, they're just going to be on fire.
Plus 738, NC State, Duke.
I love that.
We're on.
That is the
pop-off pod parlay, baby. Let's fucking go.
And then they get to play each other, which is just – it'll just be so much fun. I think – what was I just going to fucking say? Oh, yeah, and then again, there's just so much fucking pressure on Houston. Been the best team all year. Everybody, there's something with Duke in March and just March Madness. It's just the name brand. And there's a lot of pressure on them going into it. And I think, again, Duke kind of has that chip on their shoulder, nothing to lose type underdog, underseed.
Right. Like that's the thing. I think this matchup usually comes up and Duke has more pressure on them because they're Duke. But I think now Houston's been a bigger name brand, not just this year, but the last 2 years than Duke has. So I think that they're actually 100%. The bigger. All right, so they're definitely not the bigger brand. They're not going to sell more jerseys or more merchandise. But college basketball fans, they think higher of Houston than they do of Duke. And Turner sent me something, actually. Duke hasn't beat a higher seed in the NCAA tournament in the last 30 years or something like that. You could attribute that to Duke always having, one or two or three seed and them not winning it every single year. But, hey, sights on six, baby. We're going for that sixth ring. Let's do it.
I love them. I just think.
Listen to that.
I
converted you. You're on the dark side now. Yeah, spotlight's
been on Houston all fucking year. And it builds up and fucking – I think the world – there's going to be a lot of blue. I bet there's going to be a lot of blue in that arena tomorrow. Love to see them take out Houston. That would wreck a lot of people's brackets. They get to play NC State, which would just be an absolute blast. And I like the fucking – 130 is very – I don't know. I don't – after everything I've seen today, it's just been – shootouts. So I like that over as well. I think it'll be fucking everybody's leaving it all on the floor. Everybody's fucking going for it. It's fast paced. It's been fucking absolute bloodbaths.
Also
fucking all today.
Do you know how fucking devastated the box out boys would be if Duke knocked Houston and the Big 12 out of the conference?
That'd be fucking beautiful.
You know what? I love that people hate Duke. It'd be a great controversial pod. I eat that shit. I would actually. All right. So like they're going to record Monday night, right? If Duke wins this game, I don't know if they're still listening to this up at this point. They probably are because they're loyal listeners. But if they record Monday night and Duke wins this game, I'm going to burst in on the pod. I'm just going to show up.
You can just click the link.
I could just show up.
Shouldn't have told me that. I might just pop. I might pop in here and there on anything. On fucking rent money. I might just. What's up, guys? Scotty Scheffler's 5 under already the first day. That's hilarious. All right. Yeah, dude, I think I love that. I love Duke.
All right, we're on
that's
Duke.
Beautiful.
Creighton at Tennessee. Okay. Tennessee is favored by 2.5. Creighton plus 1.2 money line. The over under is at 144.5. I'll just say it right now. This is the matchup of the cold ass white boy. Yeah, Dalton Connect in Tennessee. You've got Shireman and Kalkbrenner and pretty much everybody on Creighton except for Trey Alexander. All those cold-ass white boys over there. this is what, you know, this isn't what America needs, but it's kind of what basketball needs a little bit. We're missing some cold ass white boys. We're going to have one next year in Cooper Flag at Duke. But right now, this is kind of like the pinnacle of it over the last few years. You know, this is going to be a great matchup. I like Creighton, man. I like the way that they play. I like the Big East style of play. That's why I lean towards them, UConn, Marquette. I think it's just a different brand of basketball, a little bit more complete. And that plus 122 money line is so tasty, dude. I can't help myself. Yeah. I love Shireman.
I don't know much about Creighton, to be honest. I don't know much about Tennessee either. I just know Connect, and he's been
lights
just,
out. He's a good player.
Lights out. I don't know. Yeah, maybe that's going to be a fucking just an absolute battle, and that's for sure the most. It's kind of weird that that's the premier slot, right? Because I think you would consider the last game to be
the one that everybody closes on. Yeah, 9:09 p.m.
I feel like that would have been almost the like the first game of the day or something. But I feel like Houston Duke would have been I don't know, sure. Maybe they're expecting a showdown. I don't know. I like Tennessee. I feel like Tennessee's been playing well. You guys, everybody loves Creighton though. Everybody,
like
you
Creighton,
guys,
man.
Sang their praises. I don't really know much about them. I've no idea.
Well, I can give you
what
this.
Tennessee's favored.
Yeah, Tennessee's favored by 2.5. Zeigler is a great guard for Tennessee. I love the way that he plays. He's kind of like the setup guard, but he can also score. Creighton has a couple of pros. Shireman should be a pro. He's one of those guys that'll probably go in the second round. I think he'll be a rotation player for 9 to 10 years. Then Trey Alexander, on the other hand, it's funny. You'll be watching Creighton, and you're going to be like, holy shit, this team is white. And then they got one black kid, Trey Alexander, and he's like the lightest skin, light skin you've ever seen. It's like you can barely tell like that he's like out there with those other four white dudes. You're like, oh, they have five white guys on the floor right now. Hooper. I love this kid, dude. He's so – the thing about Creighton and UConn and Marquette is they're so poised. Like they just play with like this excellent pace. Another team that's really balanced. You know,
yeah,
Colt Brenner's a guy
there too.
Colt Brenner's like their 7'2" center. People have been saying they can't wait for him to go against Purdue because they're in the same bracket as them. So they would play them in the Elite Eight if they win this game. And he was like kind of like the central point of their offense for a lot of the last two seasons. And in the first two games, he hasn't been. He's been sacrificing touches. And there is one play that I love. They're going against a 2-3 zone, right? And Shireman is at the top of the key and Colt Brenner is in the dunker spot, like right underneath the backboard. And Shireman's at the top of the key, and it looks like he's shooting a jump shot. He has a sick lefty jumper, and it looks like it's an air ball, and it's a lob to Colt Brenner. He catches it.
He
bashes
that
shit
all over fucking. That's like they run that like a decent amount, right? I saw it over ESPN.
That's my new play.
Yeah,
if somebody runs 2-3 against me, you bet your ass I got my big boy down there on the block, and I'm having my guard.
If you have a guy that's 7'2".
I mean, 6'6" in seventh grade, I think that counts as 7'2" proportionally.
Or that much of a fucking height difference. Yeah, you might as well, because the fucking guy on him thinks he's already getting ready to rebound.
Yep.
Meanwhile, the kid's fucking 10 inches above him, already caught the ball.
He just had his first dunk the other night in a scrimmage.
I remember that.
So the next step is dunking game. Yeah, I was so fired up. He's on a fast break. Yeah.
That's so lit.
But all right, yeah, man, these are going to be great games. Then we have Saturday and Sunday, the Elite Eight, and then Box Out Boys will be Monday night. Cerrone and I will be back Sunday night recapping all of these games. You'll get another recap from Box Out Boys Monday night. And then, yeah, man, the next weekend will be Final Four. But let's enjoy it while it's here. Just great college basketball being played. This was great.
Great day of hoops from start to
finish. Great day of hoops. I mean, the UConn game was a blowout, but like you still had the other game going on. So it's like, you know. That's what's beautiful about this is, you know, you got two games going on at once. The multi-view is so perfect.
Oh, it's the best. I know. I rip it.
But all right, let's go. All right, so let's go Duke. Let's go NC State. And then we'll fly out for the Elite Eight. All right. Thank you guys for listening. Cerrone, this is the best. Love you. We will see everybody on the other side. Peace out.
Deuces. I'm loving the pop-offs.